Father, thank you again for this precious book, Lord. We fix and open it. We open it reverently. We open it, Lord, open it because we know the Holy Spirit that lives in us is going to help us understand it. He inspired it. He's the voice of the Godhead. And Lord, we pray tonight, kind of starting a new journey of study, it'll be something worthwhile for our growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to be turning with me, start with Isaiah chapter 11. And I told a number of weeks ago when we were finishing up the study that we had about the blood line, looking for something. And what I'd like to do is ask you to do something this time, because I believe I'm going to ask some questions about our Lord, our God, and answer that questions from the Bible. And the reason that led to this is because these questions are many type or question types that we're getting asked today. When we say we believe something about God or His Son or the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, we have a lot of, in the secular world, come back and say they don't believe that. They don't believe God exists. They don't believe Christ was God. They don't believe. And they give other things to Him, like He was a good man, a good teacher, a good moral man, this type of thing. And by the way, there's a lot of that going on today, whether you know it or not. A lot of us disguise a little bit. You'd be surprised what some people say they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They really don't believe that deep down inside. They had to be a lot of changes made. So what I'd like you to do is this. You see, we approach subjects like this with concerned ideas. And I want you to just think this way for the next few weeks, if you will. You've never heard the name of Christ before. You don't know who He is. We're talking hypothetical now. Don't know who He is. And when we hear these questions asked about God, about Christ, then we'd ask, who is that? Where will we get our information from? Well, we don't have no book except the Holy Bible. And that's where we have to go to get the information. That's where we'll be looking at these subjects to understand. The first thing we want to start off with is Jesus Christ, God. Did you know there's a lot of folks who don't believe that? Did you know there's a lot of people who say they're Christians don't even believe that? Because they've been damaged by some doctrine. There's a whole denomination that we know right here in our era and around the world that don't even believe that. They believe that Jesus Christ is not God. And there's only one God. And then somehow or another they can't separate that God the Father and God the Son both can be God, even though they're different positions and different personalities. So we'll be looking at this subject right now. Before we read any subject, scripture, though, I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll look at more later on. But I know this, and I want to say this up front to try to get an introduction to this thing about we're going to ask to start with, is Jesus Christ God? And then we'll move from there. As we talk about is He, then we're going to ask, or is He, and we'll put in the blank where others have said. And by the way, there is a lot of folks who thinks He's everything but God. And they even go back to, look at what Thomas Jefferson said when he began to help write the Constitution years ago. And he did not believe that Christ was deity. And he made some statement about when he wrote in the Constitution about rights and so forth. We'll see that either tonight or next week. But if we're going to approach a subject like this, we must, listen to me, we must believe that there is a God before we ever believe anything about Him. There must be a belief that there is a God before we ever believe anything about Him. Now, it's a known fact that most of the people on this planet Earth believe there is a God, but they don't know who He is. They have adapted a God that in turn that would have been led down generations probably from their ancestors, and they've been taught in that arena where they're at, in that part of the world, that God is this, and that's what they follow. And it doesn't matter where you go, just about on this earth, there are just about every creature on this earth believing in some type of God. They'll worship Him, even if it means themselves. And if they don't have a God, they probably got somebody in position somewhere or another they give attributes to as being God. So we must believe that there is a God before we'll ever believe anything about God. And now, we know there's a God because the Bible said heaven declared there's a God. There's a general voice of God, then there's a specific voice of God. And we have both of these seen in the Scriptures. Most people believe that there is a God but cannot agree about who He is. And that's where we got. We saw that back in when the towers fell and they had that big prayer session up in Madison Square Garden. Every religion you could think about was up there praying to God, but everybody was praying to a different God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you understand this, though God frowns on that, because you can't go pray with everybody who's praying to a God if they're not praying to the same God you are. Because and what gets me, they said, wait a minute, isn't it a wonderful thing? God heard us. Ladies and gentlemen, how in the world can God hear a man? Now, I know he can hear. I'm talking about hear it in the sense of really recognizing and agreeing with. How can he hear a man who's praying to a God that's not the God of this universe, not the God of this Bible? You can't. It's in vain. If you don't believe it, you go look at what Paul said when he went to Athens in Acts chapter, I believe, 17. He went to, he went to Thessalonica, man, they were believing the Bible. He went to, in Acts 17, Berean thing. He went to Berean. And man, not only did they listen to what he said, but they took what he said and the scriptures they had, they searched the scriptures to see those things were true. That's what we're going to be doing. He went to Athens and everybody's believing a different God. In fact, they had thousands of God on Mars Hills. And he went there and here they couldn't, all they could think about was debating things. They wouldn't know about searching scripture or anything. People just agree, yes, sir, God, fine. This is our God, fine. We'll get along. And what we'll do, I worship my God, you worship your God, and we'll all, everything will be okay if doing that. And they had God for everything, rain, sun, fertilization, the woman God, had a lot of prostitute Parthenon, thank you, brother, thank you, Parthenon. They had, when I went there years ago, they had prostitutes there where their God was used for, just amazing what man's mind will run away with when it comes to these things of their God. So most people believe, like I say, there's a God, but they cannot agree about who he is. Now, we need the life of God. Now, here's the thing, and this is the reason we're having the trouble, ladies and gentlemen. This Bible certainly teaches us that man needs the life of God to understand the law and word of God. And that comes through the new birth. We have to be born again before we understand who the true and living God is, what his law is, and what the word says about him. And that, as I said, as far as the new birth is concerned, we see that taking place as the Holy Spirit moves through what is called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and draws that man, they don't even know what is happening when it happens a lot of times, the prelude of a child getting saved, they may have a lot of problems with who's talking to them. So they just thought the first thing that hits them in the face, you think they're some kind of a bad person because you think they need to be born again. Isn't it amazing? Aren't you glad that God loves us enough, though, to just tell us that we're lost and we need to be saved? And aren't you glad enough to know that there are those, and more so years ago, maybe now, according to the population of this earth, that will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and know what it is to be a child of God. So we need the life of God to understand anything about the law of God, the Word of God. And we receive the Word, which is John 1 tells us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The written Word God has given to us to reveal the living Word that you and I might come to know what to be a living child of God, born into the family of God. Now, here's the thing. Believing that, and this is what I look in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius. This is the thing that if a person is truly want to know who the true God is, even though they're worshiping a false God, hear what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand this now. If they really want to know who the true God is and they formed a God of worship somehow or another, then it's no doubt in my mind God will get to that person to draw them by the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you this. When Cornelius in Acts 10 was worshiping, he was doing all that he knew to do about his God. God reached down and touched Peter's heart. After he got him through that sheet of all that stuff he wouldn't touch and got him to go, to take the gospel to Cornelius, and he and his whole house got saved. And he was a Gentile. So you know good and well that I believe just any part that wants to know the true and living God is, maybe they've been raised nothing but false God and never heard anything about the true and living God, but they want to know who the true and living God is, God will somehow or another get that gospel to them. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just bring them to heaven anyhow? Because he has a plan, the plan of salvation, and it's not just but one way. There's not many roads to heaven. There's just one way. So I don't care if I'm in the darkest place of Africa, never heard the name. I've got to hear the name, and I've got to know that the one way God does that to get us to heaven. We're in the age of grace. Things are the same until God closes grace out as far as salvation is concerned. So we need the life of God to understand the law and the word of God, and to receive Christ as Savior is to get the very life of God. And Peter tells us that. We have God's eternal life, everlasting life when we get saved. Now we have the potential to really know who this God is that we can't see with our physical eyes. And yet on the hand, we know that he's up there, because this couldn't have happened with an intelligent mind without a superpower behind it. And that gives us a declaration there is a God, but we want to know specifically. So when the heart looks at that and say, this is the God, I don't care anything about that God on the totem pole. I don't care anything about but that one who made all of this, I want to know. God, I want to know somehow or another. He'll get that gospel to them, and they'll be born into the family of God. Now, our experience with God gives us our position in Jesus Christ. Listen, I may go out on a limb. I don't believe anybody will ever know the true and living God without Jesus Christ. I just don't believe that. I believe that want to know who he is enough that God will get the gospel to them, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then they come to know him as Savior, and now they have the potential to learn, amen, to learn about this God who is above all gods, who raises his hand and says, I live forever, who says there's none like me. You can't find none. Go anywhere. Go into space. Go into life. Go in the earth, under the earth. Go anywhere you want to. You'll never find a God like Jehovah God here, Elohim, is in this particular Bible. So our experience with God gives us our position in Jesus Christ. Now, when I look at that, that means there's some things I have to do. Study. I have to have a textbook. And so what I find that God's knowledge and wisdom comes after the experience of the new birth. God's knowledge and wisdom about him comes after the experience of the new birth. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. The only thing about God that let me know that about being have access to him is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you receive him as your Savior, then that position you have that's in Jesus Christ, you know why? Because only then does he give us the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if God did not give us the Holy Spirit of God, which is the voice of the Godhead, to live in us, we would never understand this Bible. Look at the confusion we have with the many people that say they have the Holy Spirit. It's always something that's disagreement about, right? And we have the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, it would be a mess. Because a lot of folks have doctrine, don't have the Holy Spirit. And they just made it up for themselves where they were at, based on somebody who gave it down through the years, you know. And so what happened is, wisdom is God's answer to a problem in life, which helps us apply knowledge correctly about the problem. What is the problem? We're lost into none. We have the nature of Adam. We're all sinners. And the wisdom of God gives us the ability to look at the knowledge of God, because God is the beginning of the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So we can apply the solution to the problem and know about these things. So God, the Holy Spirit, is the source that we have of this wisdom. And that's where we're at in Isaiah chapter 11. Look with me in verse 1 and 2. Here's what God says about what's happening. Prophecy about 700 something years before Jesus Christ comes. And he's prophesying of the branch that should come, which in turn would come and be presented to this world, to the nation of Israel, first of all, and he would be rejected, and in turn the church would come into existence as we know it today, until God got the church home on the other side, and then we'd find ourselves coming back to sit on David's throne, that is, Jesus would be, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But watch what he says: and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And if you go to Scripture, we can go to John 15, others about, you're the branches, I'm the vine. Then in verse 2, he gives us, watch what he says, in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord, but there's seven different folds of this Spirit. And here's where we need it to understand who God is. And we don't get that. We don't have that access until we come to know Jesus as Savior. Now, tell me why again, I just said it. Why is it that I don't have access except I trust Christ as Savior? Because I don't have the Spirit of God living in me, and neither you, unless you trust Christ as Savior. And so now he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord. He shall rest upon him, that is upon this branch. And notice he said, and that he rests upon him, the Spirit, watch this, the Spirit of wisdom, and the way that's written, it can say the Spirit of each one of these. It's sevenfold here. The Spirit of wisdom, that's the first thing. The Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, even though the conjunction's in is in that, the Spirit of the knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. That's the sevenfold wisdom that God gives us when he gives us the Spirit. Why? Because all of that is in the Holy Spirit of God. And so he gives us that wisdom now so we can really analyze the textbook that he's given us, preserved for us, inspired for us, so we really know who this true and living God is. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation with me, just a minute, and look in chapter 1, verse 4, John said this, and this is, you know, this is about 800 years later, you find it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John, he said to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. That's talking about God at this time, the characteristics of God. And then he said, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That's what we just read about here in Isaiah chapter 2. And then he said, from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness. So we find that God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, all three are mentioned in these couple of verses here at this particular time. Now, if I also look in 1 Corinthians, I'll see another, give me some information, chapter 11. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. So it helps me again to see the Holy Spirit's come now, living in the people in Corinthians. So I see the diversities that the Holy Spirit is in Isaiah 11, 2, where he's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counseling and might and knowledge and fear. I also see that he tells us that he is the, John chapter 1, verse 4, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and was and which is to come from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then Paul's telling the church at Corinth that there are diversities of the gifts of that particular spirit. But we see in verse 13, just to go over there, he said, but for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free or land, have all been made or have been all made to drink in one Spirit. And he tells us in verse 18, but now had God set the members, every one of them, into the body as it pleased him. And so we're seeing that he's talking about there's just one Holy Spirit with sevenfold characteristics of him, of what he can do in these different areas. Now, I need this wisdom. God the Holy Spirit is our source of wisdom to understand the knowledge that God has given us, to put it together, to really grasp what this true and living God is. Now, wisdom decides relationships. Wisdom is, how can I do that? Let me give an example. A good way to know wisdom is this. Mother and dad, a lot of times, have more wisdom than their teenagers have. And you hear this when we're talking about the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to understand what we read to some degree within our capabilities and how to apply it so we can understand there are some things that are wrong, some things are right, and we need to watch that which is wrong. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you don't get up any day of your life without having evil right in your face. I don't care where you go. It's going to be right there for you, around you somewhere or another. And I tell you, you get up and just live this life where you're at, and all your flesh is fed exactly what comes from this world. This book's the only thing that can counteract that. And there's a discipline there. And so I discipline myself. You can't go in this world and live and face all the evil. Listen, evil is personifying itself today. People are not even trying to hide evil now. And what happens, it just keeps mushrooming, and finally God will have to destroy it to keep it from taking over completely. And he will. So we got this before us. So we have, no wonder the Bible says a lot about us as we study who God is and what he's doing, don't be able to watch what our eyes see and the areas that we're at. Now, I'll give an example. Sometimes you see a teenager come in or a youth to come in, and they're pretty good children, and suddenly they come in when they're talking about something somewhere or another, and you know that the caliber, and this is nobody specific or particular, but you know the caliber person they're talking about, where they're hanging around with, is not really good for them to grow like they should. And so the wisdom is this. Listen, son. Listen, daughter. I want to tell you, please, you need to watch yourself, because there's things here you don't see. When a person is involved with something, they don't see nothing but what they see. And the wisdom is there's something. Don't you need to do that. You need to stay away from that. You need to stay. I'm telling you, that is not good for you. And probably they get upset because they don't have the wisdom to see evil's there. And evil will lead you astray unless you snap it in place. This body is not able to do anything but follow evil unless you have the power. And God says, greater is he in us than he's in the world. And we don't have the, we have the power potential to do it. But if we let evil does like, things will change our mind because that's the way this body works. And all of a sudden, a person said, I don't know why in the world I did that years ago. I know I shouldn't have, but I did. And the time didn't seem, it seemed all right. See, wisdom, when a person loves you, is not trying to condemn somebody necessarily, but trying their best to say, look, you need to be careful here. Here's the time you need to get the blinds off and look at things through the eyes that God gives you in your new creation. And the best place in the world is the Word of God. And so here we find ourselves moving into this error about, is Jesus Christ God? Now look in chapter 14 with me of the Gospel of John. Read some verses of Scripture now, and then we'll make some comments in this. It's kind of an introduction tonight. Look back in John chapter 14. You remember when Jesus was talking, he's talking about let not your heart be troubled and so forth, believing God believes in me, and he talked about heaven. He said in verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by me. And then in verse 7, he said, If ye had known me, he said, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and you have seen him. Now the first thing Philip said, well, listen, Lord, show us the Father. And it satisfies, or suffice us, it satisfies. Show us the Father. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, 3 years had gone by and he'd been showing him the Father. And showing him. And yet, he didn't get it. And the Philip said, as I said, Jesus said to him, have I yet? Has thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Isn't that amazing? Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip said, in so many words, like saying, no, I didn't. I've seen you, Jesus. I haven't seen the Father. And Jesus said, everything that God is, I am. He didn't mind me giving himself the name of God, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He's talking about he's God and used the language that God said for himself. Now, to the Jew, that's hypocrisy, because they believed in one God only. And if God the Father was the God that should everything from Abraham up to the time that Jesus came, they thought Christ was blaspheming because he was claiming to be God. And they couldn't get it. And so that brought about this tremendous enrage that every time the hierarchies of the Jewish religion would try to work a way to destroy Christ, they'd inflame this hatred and in turn finally put Christ to death on the cross. But isn't it an amazing thing that God will use that so we could be saved? Oh, God, it's amazing God. Amazing God. He turns things out. You mean talking about Romans 8:28, man alive? Right there is where he worked it for our good. The fact is that he turned out that evil situation so Jew and Gentile both could be saved. As he goes on, he talks about, he said, believest thou this, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake, he goes on. And then he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth in me, and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go to my Father. And he talks about, and he said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And ye shall ask, and if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if you will, turn with me over to back to chapter 10, and let's see another portion of Scripture to get this. He's identifying he and God the Father are the same. In Acts chapter 10, if you look with me, and look down about verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. Let me ask you something. When you read that verse, and you see someone saying they're following God and leaving Christ out, do you believe they're following God? You know why? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And what he says when he talks to them, "I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's, out of my hand, for my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Watch verse 30. "I and my Father are one." Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. If Jesus is no more than just a man like we are, and God is superior like he is with deity, they can't be one. So what's happened here? Jesus is saying, when it comes to what God has done and what we have done in heaven, that's three parts of the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and on the earth, while he's here, though he's in a body of flesh, and though he's man, and it blows our mind, we can't see that, how can he be all man, all God, but he was. If he was not all man, he didn't face everything for you, he didn't pay the debt for all of us. If any man that's ever lived since Adam and day could experience something that Jesus did not experience to pay the sin debt for, ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't save him. He had to pay the debt in full. And when he cried finish on the cross, that means he paid that debt in full. That means there's nothing can ever be found throughout eternity to bring that debt up again. So that gets me grounded. You see what that's doing? That gets me grounded, gets my feet settled. That when I began to study, these things keep us from being rattled and shaken when it comes to our faith. They'll think we're crazy and out of the world and just think we're a bunch of hypocrites, think we know everything. No, it's not that we know. We know we don't know everything. But aren't you glad you know who he is? Amen. And what he's done for you and I, praise God. There's no reason in the world why we should be shaken on the foundation who is Jesus Christ. Because this book gives us that. Then notice what he said when he said, "I and my Father are one." Now, watch. When he said that, the next verse said, watch, he said, "And the Jews took up stones to stone him." Now, what's wrong with the phrase, "I and my Father are one"? They knew what he was saying. They only believed in one God. And from Moses' day up to this time, from Mount Sinai, that's all they thought, one God, and that was it. And when Jesus came claiming to be God also, they had problems with him. "No, you can't be God. You're blaspheming. There's only one God. By the way, Jews will never believe in but one God." To move out of that is idol worship. And that's when God really destroyed the Jews in the past. He would deal with them a long time. A lot of times they get to a place where they begin to practice the idol worship of other countries when they'd get in bondage. And you'd find, or he'd take them into bondage. When they get into a country and didn't conquer all, he'd take them into bondage. And many times do what they had to do until he could get the nation back to the place, another generation, to believe that he was the God he was setting forth he was. Now, if you will, turn one more time. And these verses on the hippie, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, look with me down about verse 20. Now, so far, I and the Father are one. That certainly shows from heaven as the Holy Spirit comes beyond the veil in our heart and reveals this wonderful truth to us. Here, though, watch what John says in verse 20. "And we know," who are the we? The Christian, the child of God, in the plural, more than just one, "that the Son of God is come." Who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ. Watch now, because he's who he's talking about here. "We know," watch, "that the Son of God is come and had given us," who are the us? The children of God, "an understanding." Isn't that what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do? He's given us now, ladies and gentlemen, how can he give it to us if we don't have him? Boy, what reason it takes me so long, I ask questions. And that's the question I have to ask. Listen, if I don't have the Holy Spirit, he can't give this to me. But if I have the Holy Spirit, he can, and he will. Do I have the Holy Spirit? Have I ever tried? See how you backtrack? Have you ever trusted Christ? Did I really receive Christ? September 27, 1959, when I asked the Lord to come to my heart, did I really do that? Did it really happen? Yes. Did I really? See, you track back. Then I run back up and say, praise God, I know who this is talking about. Folks, that is not being proud. That's being a student. That's being a child of God who wants to know what happened. Now, I didn't learn a whole lot about physical birth when I was born. But I'll tell you this. It's not long when you get up in age a little bit, you like to go back again and see really what did take place when you were physically born. Anybody ever done that? You had never gone to a science book to see what took place. You said, I know you knew what, you know the ingredients to have a child to be born, but what happens when the child's in the mother's womb? Nobody's ever been concerned about that? Wow, I ain't never in my life. Boy, you need to go back. Hey, I bet you the library will be full of people now if you go back. Take the science book and look and see at that situation what happens when that connection makes from a male and a female and how it works and how God starts new life that way. Well, the physical life is the same way. And it didn't bother much for a period of time, the physical life, until I grew up. But since I've got grown, I've gone back numerous times and read books and from a science and from secular and from religion. Dr. Duhon's got one of the best books that ever been written along this line. And he's a medical doctor who was a really tremendous Christian. Well, that's what this is doing. It's now that I'm saved, and listen, I'm going back now where I was at back kind of years ago and being sure. Why not do that? Examine yourself, Paul said, unless you be a reprobate. Right? Boy. And that's not been doubt. By the way, if you have doubt, that's a good way to get rid of doubt, to go back from the beginning again. And so he says here, watch, and go back in. And we know that the Son of God is come and had given us understanding that we may know, what's that understanding? That we may know that is true, know him that is true, him being the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, this verse is like when God told Joseph he was going to have a son born through Mary, and his name's going to be Emmanuel, even though we know his name was Jesus, he saved his people. It's Emmanuel. What is that? God with us. He didn't let us even begin to try to tell what Emmanuel was. He told us what it was. And he's not going to let us. He's going to let us know here. He's talking about his Son here. The Holy Spirit, the voice of the Godhead, is talking about God the Father's Son. And he said that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. What's this next few verses? This is the true God and eternal life. What a phrase. Boy, hide that in your heart and munch on a little bit, and that'll do something for you even as a child of God. So I've got some verses to start off with to know, hey, I know for my fact, is Jesus Christ God? You better believe he is. But wait a minute. I need that for myself, but I need that to be able to talk to someone else if they'll listen as we discuss the scriptures. Go to the places. And that's where we'll be headed in the next, I've got about 5 minutes left. Now let me ask you this question. Have you ever, and again, I ask you to think about, if you never heard the name before, to think about it not hearing it so we can look at these verses together, what I've already shown you on the note to prove that he was God. But have you ever met a man who is the center of the attention wherever they go? You ever seen somebody said, there's so-and-so? I declare, I met him a few times, and every time I see him, when he walks in, it seems like everybody kind of goes towards him. You ever seen somebody like that? I bet you somebody where you work at sometimes, if you have a meeting, there's certain one or two that, I don't know, maybe they have great knowledge, maybe they have a good atmosphere, maybe they have a good manners, I don't know. But there's somebody that seems like, you know, that person just has something to attract you. Has anybody ever been around you sometime or another and you didn't really reveal who you were, but you did have some standards? You did have some things of discipline. And after about a day or two, maybe, or maybe a few hours, suddenly talk about the Lord and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And they say, I knew there's something about you. You ever been told that? Well, I have a lot of times. I knew there was something about you that was different. Well, this is what this is. When you think about Jesus Christ, some mysterious, indefinable characteristics set him apart from other men. wherever he went while he was here that last 3.5 years. We don't have a whole lot before that. And by the way, there's going to be a movie on the television, I understand. I believe I saw this advertised going to be on, in the movie screens where you pay, of Jesus Christ as a little boy doing all kinds of miracles. There's no Bible for that, folks. And yet, they found some writing somewhere or another, and I've got the book myself. I told you about it. I've got the book myself years ago. When Christ was a boy, some of the things he did, even to the point one time, knocked somebody off of real building, killed him, and he came down and gave him back life. Another time, he's playing outside, and this is where the playing outside with made some clay pigeons of some kind, was playing with them. And all of a sudden, he gave them life so they'd fly away. By the way, they say that's in this movie they're making up. You know what it's doing? It's destroying the deity of Christ. That's all. Little by little. Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, he could have done that. Wait a minute. He could have. But listen, Christ Jesus was a young boy, as a born boy, flesh. He was raised like you and I were raised in the sense of being raised. Of course, he was a carpenter's son, and he was in Israel, but we're here. But I'm said he went through all the features that a young boy would go through to become a man. And then the only time you see him really doing something, at 12 years old, he went to temple, a little short span, but you didn't see anything else till he was 30 years old. Why? Because the miracles began to take place when he began to present himself as the Messiah, as the Lamb of God. And even then, the apostles were with him 3.5 years, and they never did see him. He kept telling, he said, I'm going to die and be raised again the third day. One time, Peter said, that's not going to be true. No, Lord. And then you know what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Isn't it an amazing thing? You know what Jesus was saying? Peter, that's not really you. That's Satan doing that. You have let Satan use you in a way you don't even know what's happening. And so he didn't address Peter. Hush your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about, son. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Isn't it an amazing thing when you look at things and analyze them, how sharp Jesus was when he was here? And he never wasted a word, ladies and gentlemen, from the time he started his ministry 30 years old until he died. He never did. And so when you see his characteristics, there's some about him. That's the way he was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came. Those who witness his words and witness his life tells us that something about Jesus Christ of Nazareth was different from all other men when they saw him. They said, no man ever talked like this before. And they said, man, he had power to raise the dead. That'll get somebody's attention, isn't it? You know what? It's not a doubt that God hadn't performed some mighty miracles around here, but some of these people who claim they raised somebody from the dead don't have a video camera that hadn't. Have a picture of it so they really could give you the evidence of it. I believe God has raised some people from the dead. But I believe in the age of grace now, God gives us his word. And this word will do us. Hey, you see, they said, what we're doing right now in this book will do more for us than anything we'd see with our eye. Because what's happened, this word has been settled in our heart. What we see with our eye a lot of the time, we can be deceived. Anybody seen that? Barbarotta. It's called that fellow that it used magician to trick people. You seen that? Did you know a magician can cause something to look real that's not real? And all it is a fake. All it is a fake. I was telling in the radio this week, I don't know who was out there, he was showing, this was a real clean thing, but he was showing that a lady brought a dog in and she's going to have him trimmed up. And this, he was telling them, look, when I trimmed that dog up, we sent him a different package than this. I don't know if you saw that. And they had this thing on the table, big round like this, and took her dog and put it in that thing and said, well, it's in it. He'll get him back. He put it out there and it was about this high, this big around. Put that dog in there. Now, while they're talking, all of a sudden, he smashed that thing down, and it got that flat. And that woman's eyes went wide as no telling what. And he said, she said, what did you do? He said, well, this is the way we ship them. She said, I want my dog back. He said, oh, okay, we'll do that. So he took, put it back on the table, and all of a sudden, he took it and reached in there and got the dog. Now, I'm telling you, why do you use that, preacher? Because we can be deceived. He didn't smash that dog. We can be deceived. And by the way, Satan's the greatest deceiver of all. God help us as we go through this. So Jesus' only credential, and I'll close with this thought. You look in the scriptures, and the only credentials that you will find that he had it were himself. Just himself. He never wrote a book, but a book was written about him. Ladies and gentlemen, he never commanded an army. He never held a political office. He never owned any property. He mostly traveled about 100 miles of his village, and yet he attracted crowds who were amazed at his words and his stunning deeds that he did. Did you know that most people that are great, it's obvious that to those that look great, that you see and you hear them, they may not do what Jesus did, but if they're great, you see and hear them, but then once they're gone, you don't hear anything else about them. You write a book about somebody and put it up, and it'd get lost on the shelves of the library or somewhere or another, or even burnt later because it won't sell because of money. You're not making money somehow or another. And yet, when you see most great people, they fade away in history. But Jesus Christ comes, lives just 33 and a half years, and only 3.5 years do we really have any documentation. Because secular, there is no history about him much at all, except some books that have been written, which sometimes are false. Only true things have been written, what we have in the scriptures of the Word of God. And here, this book, Jesus is still, after these years, 2,000 years, he's still the focus of thousands of books. He's the media, in the last few years, controversy. Every way you turn, they're having something about him. He fascinates this world so much, even though they don't believe him as who he is. He still fascinates this world. So that many times when they have something on the news media or on the television or somewhere or another to look at, and History Channel and other channels, you find just thousands of people look at that. The controversy revolves around the claims that Jesus Christ made himself in his life, not only is he God, was man, which caused him to be viewed as a threat by both the Roman authorities and the Jewish hierarchies. What did he do, ladies and gentlemen? Nothing but help people. Though he did some of the most marvelous things in this world that's ever been done to humanity on this earth, help people. And the main thing, to go to Calvary and die. And yet, all that, the hierarchies, destroyed him, trying to do away with him, and yet today he's as popular in name as he was in that day. It's an amazing thing. I'm looking forward to this. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, help our minds be clear, and Lord, let us see. Now, we know that Jesus is God. We know that. But we want to find what we can look at a little bit to be able to discuss some others who may not know it. Lord, if I'm talking to unsaved person, they don't know a thing about what we're talking about tonight. They have to be born again. And I know that most people think, boy, you're really putting me down. No, I was there one time. Lord, we're not putting people down to try to tell them to be born again. We'll just tell them that God loves them. Jesus died for them. And he's the only way that we can have access to the true and living God. And not only that here, but one day through the exodus of death or the rapture of the church, we're going to meet him on the other side. And with these eyes, Revelation tells us, we're going to see his face. God the Father, God the Son, and no doubt God the Holy Spirit. Until that day comes, help us be what we need to be. Help us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help us be kind with the information you give to us. We don't use it to beat over people's head. We just want to know the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.